Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Are we on all right at the back? Well, good morning, and thank you for letting me come and speak to you this morning. I truly am humbled and feel thankful that you've come to listen to what I have to say today and what the Lord's put on my heart. And also, I want to share some things with you from what I've been learning at college. So it's going to be a bit of a variety, but to start with, I'd like to read from Psalm 90. Tim's going to put the words up on the screen, but if you've got your Bibles with you, then we will be reading from Psalm 90, starting at verse 1. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years, or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Thanks be to God for those words that he put in the Psalms. So, to start with, we're just going to have a little bit of a roundup of 2012, it being the end of the year, the last service of the year before we hit 2013. So, as I don't read the papers generally, I don't get these roundups, but if you've seen them in the papers, then that's fair enough. Well, I'm just going to have a look at some of the things that have hit the headlines. There's only about 6 or 7. So, we're going to start with the Diamond Jubilee. This was, as you know, you could just flick through those, Tim, that's fine. Celebrating 60 years of Queen Elizabeth on the throne this year. Lots of celebrations, both in this country and around the world, most of it being in London, music, parties, etc., etc. So that was the Diamond Jubilee back in the early summer. Moving on, who can forget the Olympics and Paralympics? How many years did we have to wait for the Olympics and Paralympics to arrive on our shores. And some of us were getting a bit fed up of it towards the end, but it certainly was a massive celebration, again, based in London. Lots of fireworks and lots of pleasure for many people, many sportsmen and women, and many children encouraged, so I believe. They did a poll and said that 70% of children were now more encouraged to take part in sport. I don't know which 70% of children that was, but let's hope so, eh? Okay, so that was the Olympics and Paralympics. Moving on, something not quite so pleasant, the nationwide floods. I think I'm right in saying that this has been the wettest year on record for about 100 years. Is that right? Yeah, a few nods. Yeah, so not just in Tewkesbury and not just in our area, but up north in Yorkshire and down south in Cornwall, we've seen floods all over the country, which has been quite dramatic and very sorrowful in many cases. Moving on. Right, so our tennis champion Andy Murray at last came home with some cups and medals this year, and as you see, Andy Murray OBE, who's got an OBE in the New Year's honours lists this year, he became the Olympic champion and also the US Open champion, narrowly defeated at Wimbledon to Roger Federer. That's right, yeah. Okay, so that's our Andy Murray. And Bradley Wiggins, where did he come from? Don't think anybody had heard of him much this year, unless you were big into cycling. Again, honoured in the New Year's list, is now a Sir Bradley Wiggins, who's Olympic champion and Tour de France winner, and also the Sports Personality of the Year. So another champion of sports. Okay, something else that we saw in the papers that was madly going round and on the internet too. The Mayan people predicted that in December 2012, the world would end. But we as Christians knew that that probably wasn't going to happen, because nobody knows when Jesus is coming back and when the end of the world would be. So, yeah, a false thing there in the papers this year. And Justin Welby, that's got to find something to do with God that was in the papers. Justin Welby was chosen as the new Archbishop of Canterbury, and he's going to be enthroned on the 21st of March this coming year. He's got more smiles than Andy Murray, which is good to see, and I think that's a really positive thing, and we'll be looking forward to what he has to say, and you know, he's helping with the Church of England this year. We'll see what comes of that. So I think that's it for the slides of what's going on in the UK and the world this year. Now, most of the slides, they show achievements. They've shown achievements particularly in sporting fields, accomplishments of men and women who have worked hard. They have been praised, and some of them may have amassed fame and fortune for their efforts. However, what most of those slides did was to get people talking and to initiate a sense of community. Now we're going to have a look at some things that have been going on in our chapel in 2012. It's just one slide. There's no pretty pictures, I'm afraid, but we're going to look at some of the highlights, perhaps, of the year that we've had. We've seen our very own Toby Monks. He was baptised at Hillview Church back in the early part of January, and also came to Twining Chapel to give his testimony. I don't know if you remember, we had the Gospel of the Jelly Babies. Yes, that was almost 12 months ago, believe it or not. Tom and Gemma took some members of the youth club over to Worcester to attend a Fat Fish concert, which was thoroughly enjoyed by everybody that went. We've had some special Sunday evenings of praise and worship, which have been new to chapel this year, and we've really thoroughly enjoyed those. That's been great. We took part in the Jubilee weekend on the green. Despite the rain, and didn't it rain? We provided tea and cakes in the marquee, and by popular request of the public who wanted to give us money, despite the fact that we were trying to give things away for free, we did raise £75 for Tier Fund. We held an Olympic-themed making a mess session in the chapel. We lost Wayne, so to speak, in the fact that he was no longer working for us in our community, but he was gainfully employed by Slavic Gospel Association. And to celebrate, we had a lunch up at Jonathan and Hanukkah's, if you remember that. Tom has ably been leading us in the Christianity Explored course since September. And, you know, on a Wednesday night, that's really brought the fellowship together, which has been a very positive experience. We participated in the Children in Need Skittles, and over £600, I think it was nearly £650, was raised. And by all accounts, we raised through the chapel about a sixth of that money, which was incredible. So that's good causes. Some of us went to the Fire 2012 conference in Birmingham and got all fired up and spirit blessed, and that was great to do. We had a Christmas coffee morning, and we raised £64 for the play group, which they were very, very delighted with. And we've also been blessed with some Christmas services over the last few days. In fact, it's been quite days and weeks. It's been quite a busy time, hasn't it, the last month. So that's just a little roundup of what we've been doing. Let's put it back in there. And so what is the difference? What is the difference between the slides that we saw about 2012, all the pictures and the sports personalities, and what is the difference between our slide, humble and simple though it may be? Well, apart from our activities not making it to the press, our highlights have all been God-centred and focused on the community. We have seen development within the community, people stepping out and moving on in faith. We have seen people drawing closer to God through praise and worship and seeking his word. And we've seen a reaching out and serving in the community, drawing alongside people and meeting needs. So why is it that we feel the need to look back, to reflect on the last 12 months? Well, the point of looking back is to reflect and learn from the past and to seek the best way forward for the future. As we read in Psalm 90, just going to that verse 12, it says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So we ask ourselves, are we spending our days wisely? Do we have the right priorities, as the children's talk? Some years ago, a survey was done in America to find out how the average American spent their time. This is how it read. In a lifetime, the average American will spend 6 months sitting at traffic lights, 8 months opening junk mail, 1 year looking for misplaced objects. Where's my keys? Where's my phone? 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls. 4 years doing housework. 5 years waiting in line. 6 years eating. The end of December is traditionally a good time to evaluate what we have done during the past year, the past 365 days, so we can change things that need changing for the next year. It's a time of year when we should assess our lives and our work for the Lord and consider whether we have made the most of our time, talents, and experience. It is a time to think through and make changes in our goals and plans for the upcoming year. It's also the time when we think about our giving to the Lord. He has blessed us with time, experience, resources, talents, spiritual gifts, and a community of people. What have we given to Him? For instance, how much time have we spent with the Father, in the Word, and in prayer this year? If you're anything like me, this is always one of the things that I'm trying to improve on at this time of year. Asking myself questions like, what is my prayer life like anyway? What are other people's prayer lives like? Do other people spend time in real, deep, personal prayer with God? Or are they too busy racing around like me? How long should I pray for? How long do other people pray for? When do people pray? Is it first thing in the morning? Is it last thing at night? Is it 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Half an hour? An hour? Is it talking to God and then falling asleep? Or staying awake to listen too? Is it a one-sided conversation? What happens in the middle of the day as we go about our work? Do we forget about God? Can we still listen to Him too? Does my prayer life have to be the same as Tom's or Gemma's or Jean's or Wayne's? I guess the point I'm trying to make is that most of us probably feel that we fall short when it comes to our prayer lives. Have you ever read the quote from Martin Luther where he says, "I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer"? That alone makes me feel guilty, inadequate, and a bit unworthy. But I wonder, did he have kids? So how to get round it? How to answer my questions on prayer? Well, one way to explore how to pray, or how to listen to God, is to consider the writings of other people, their thoughts on prayer. And one author that I've come across through the privilege of being able to go to college is an author called Richard Foster. He is the author of many books on Christian spirituality and the classic disciplines of the Christian faith. His timeless impartings are sought after and respected by many Christians today, and he does have many suggestions on transforming your spiritual life. But it was when I was reading his book entitled Life with God that the practice of Lectio Divina really stood out as a way of developing my prayer life. The practice of Lectio Divina, or spiritual reading, according to Foster, is the primary mode of reading the Bible for transformation. It is ancient in origin. It is simple in application. It is practical, yet insightful. This exercise has opened my eyes to appreciating the fullness of Scripture. In simple terms, Lectio Divina is reading small portions of the Bible slowly, whilst listening, reflecting, praying, and obeying. This style of Bible reading feels in complete contrast to most other ways often suggested in the daily life. I don't know about you, but I often feel torn between feeling embarrassed that I have not read the Bible in a year, a whole year, every year, or that I'm taking the Bible out of context and focusing on memory verses to help me through the day. But this type of Bible reading can help us to have a deeper connection with God in a more personal way that I'm sure we all long for. And Richard Foster goes as far to say that reading the Bible for transformation is tantamount to inviting a Damascus Road experience. Who wants one of those? So let us explore how we can read the Bible in this way. So it's just a simple guide to Lectio Divina. Sounds complicated, but it's not. Simply, find a quiet space and be still. Find a small passage of the Bible. A few verses would do. Read the passage slowly, perhaps several times. Listen through the passage. Find a word or a few words to meditate on. Pray, allowing the words of the passage to lead your response. Reflect. Focus on God. Rest in His presence. Obey. Write down or share anything you have heard from God. Consider how you might be changed and transformed by these words. It's really quite a simple thing to do. It doesn't take many minutes. The verse, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Even something as small as that can be reflected on. You might look at that verse and think, well, if I read that verse, the words that are going to jump out at me are teach and wisdom. But it might not be. If you read it slowly, if you read it carefully, if you go over it again and again, the words that may come out may be heart, may be number, it may be days, it may be something that's already in your heart that's stirring, and a simple word from a verse like that can really jump out at you. I've done some handouts of the slide, so if anybody wants to have a look at that, then they'll be here at the front at the end. And also there are websites on Lectio Divina, including one called Word Live, which I've put at the bottom of this piece of paper as well. And you can actually press buttons and do it online. There's some background music, and it's quite helpful, just a word, a passage for the day. And I've certainly found it helpful myself. In fact, you know, I've been so encouraged and moved by the practice of Lectio Divina that I really am convinced that everyone should do it, not only to improve themselves, but in particular to enhance and advance their relationship with God. And in the words of Saint Athanasius from Alexandria, you will not see anyone who is really striving after his advancement, who is not given to spiritual reading. And as to him who neglects it, the fact will soon be observed by his progress. So, in summary, for a few moments, we have glanced very briefly over the last 12 months in the world, England, in our community and our chapel. We have recognised that this is the time of year to reflect on the past and make any changes for the future, ready for the start of the new year. We have noted from the Psalms that it is wise to spend our time carefully. We must never underestimate the power of prayer and our time spent in it and the Word. I believe that if you wish to have a fuller life with God this year, then you could do no harm by improving your prayer life. Perhaps with the practice of Lectio, which, again in Foster's words, immerses us in the deep and timeless waters of God, that more of God's eternal life might flow into our time-bound lives. I'd just like to pray to finish. Dear Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Have compassion on us, your servants, Lord. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us as glad for the days you have afflicted us as for the days you have blessed us. May your works be shown to us, your servants, and your splendour to our children. May the favour of the Lord our God rest on us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. Just got the final hymn. Let's move this back.